Y'all, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
When you control a man's thinking, you do not have to worry about his actions. Carter G. Woodson. Welcome to Grimly.
Did Trump say some crazy shit today?
Oh, yeah. He literally says, praise Allah.
That was insane. It's being a sarcastic, right? He's just being offensive.
I don't even know anymore. I think it's literally a demented person. Deranged and demented.
I know. And then they were saying he's at Walter Reed.
Then he's not.
He's not?
No. No. Yeah, he said some crazy fucking shit.
On Twitter?
On his Truth social media. Oh. Is he still banned? No, he's not banned for Twitter anymore because it's Elon Musk.
Two back on? Did those two make up? I feel like they did.
I think they did.
God.
They're messy.
The girls are
so fucking messy.
I don't know. Can't keep up.
I really can't either. But I do think they have made up in some shape or form.
It seems like it.
Yeah. They're still broken up, but they're like on better terms.
Okay. They're friends now.
Yeah. Yeah. They're no longer in a relationship. They're just friends. Are you mixing an energy drink and wine?
No, it is only sparkling tea.
Okay.
I could mix it with tequila though.
You could, and which
would be fine.
Which would be
it's
fine.
It's a cranberry pomegranate.
Okay.
Tequila's not the best. Like gin feels like it would be better for cranberry pomegranate, but tequila would work. That's all I have.
Yeah.
Anyway. No, just straight caffeine today.
And I wasn't trying to judge, but I was just like, wow.
No, it's just in a wine glass. That's why it's misleading. You should taste it. Here, taste it.
Mmm. That's not wine.
No.
Oh.
Yeah, it's just...
That's why I poured myself some wine. I'm like, well, I guess if you're drinking, then I am too.
Now I'm the
one in solidarity.
Yeah.
Shit. Oh, well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, nice. They're good. I like them.
Yeah.
I don't really get the sparkling one all that often, but I should.
Yeah. Anything that is in a can should be bubbly.
Mm.
It should be...
Sure.
Effervescent.
Sure.
I don't like...
But there's a lot of teas that come in.
I don't like it when the teas are...
Green teas and
I want them
like
to be bubbly.
They aren't usually.
You can carbonate them. I mean, just inject a little CO2 in there.
Okay, but like a green tea, a sparkling green tea?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess so.
Listen, I just say when I crack up in a can, I want it to be bubbly.
Sure.
It's my expectation. Maybe that I'm just like, you know...
There are so many types of canned drinks that are... Like, you're going to be fine.
I know. But, like, when I buy, like, a, you know, something and I open the can, I expect it to be bubbly and then I drink it. I'm like, oh, you know?
Yeah.
That's a little...
Okay, but, like, the canned cocktails aren't always sparkling.
I know.
Those are fine or no?
No, I usually want those to be bubbly.
Okay. Espresso martini. Can't be bubbly. Comes in a can.
No.
There are exceptions.
I guess that is an exception, yeah.
That's the exception.
Yeah. I mean, like the little teeny tiny ones.
The teeny tiny ones.
That we have tried, that you hated. I think you hate espresso martinis.
I don't love, it's not my flavor profile necessarily.
Because you don't really like coffee.
No, that's why I'm drinking a tea.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I chugged my coffee.
But sometimes it is fun to drink an espresso martini.
Yeah.
And I think once I put them on ice, it was like more tolerable. It just was like very strong.
Yeah. You were like, this is gasoline.
Yeah. And it's coffee flavored gasoline. You're like, whoa. This is not for me.
That's why it was in a teeny tiny can though.
That's true. But yes, once we put it with ice, it was fine.
Yeah, totally.
When I was in Palm Springs, there is a steakhouse there called Mr. Lyons. And they have fantastic espresso martinis. You are not being subtle.
I'm sorry, I tried.
I know. It's like, it's coming through.
Is it? I'm sorry. God. I am. If I sound bad.
You do.
Thank you. I just have horrendous fucking allergies.
I'm sorry. I know it's really miserable. Like, it really is. You can't escape it. It's debilitating.
I fucking hate spring so goddamn much.
It's hard to like work.
Yeah, it really is. You just have to endure.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
I'm sorry.
So all of my allergy girlies out there, I hope you're doing okay.
I'm not, but I hope you are.
Just, you should stick a couple tampons in your nose.
You know, I've thought about it. But they are expensive. So I'm like, God, I don't really want to waste a tampon.
I know. And like, honestly, I need the little tiny ones. And I don't know about your pussy, but I need a bigger tampon than the tiny ones I would stick in my nose.
I did stick some tissues up my nose the other day while I was driving because I'm just so sick of having to grab a tissue box because I have a tissue box in my car. I was just like, God damn it. I'm so sick of this. So I shoved, you know, I was like this. I probably look ridiculous on the road.
Yeah, people might get it though.
Yeah, they're like,
there goes one of us.
I feel her. But you know, hi, welcome to Grimly.
I'm Meg.
I'm Missy. And we are two unserious people that talk about seriously creepy shit. And we definitely did not do that intro yesterday with Brandon.
We are bad at this.
Yeah.
And we know this.
Yeah, we are a little.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. Listen, you know.
I need to make an announcement at the top of the episode. And that is, and you know this, that some of my work colleagues have discovered the pod.
Oh, right.
And I'm here to say, if you're fucking listening, it is time to turn it off now, okay? Don't go any further. You're uninvited.
You're uninvited.
That's all. That's all.
What did they say, like, when they did a search? What, did they call us idiot liberals or liberal idiots?
They used ChatGPT to narrow it down.
Uh-huh. Because you wouldn't tell them the name.
I would not tell them the name. But I gave enough context clues, apparently, that they
found it.
Yeah, ChatGPT eventually got there. But and then it gave like a little review that someone read to me. And I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was like, yeah, something to the tune of two liberal bitches.
Yeah. I thought it was liberal idiots.
Something like that. I don't remember.
What? I'd rather be a liberal idiot.
Sure. Well.
Then.
Yeah.
The opposite, well, I would say.
We're all idiots, so.
Yeah, we all are idiots, but we will admit we are idiots.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's the problem. Yeah.
And believe it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, totally. I do also, I have a hot dog story.
Okay.
I have a hot dog tale.
Okay.
To add. I've been waiting to tell you about
it. I'm here.
Because I was like, this is a good story for the pod. I went to opening day Mariners game. And, you know, we were, you know, at the game having a good time. And we were leaving. I was like, you know what time it is? It's hot dog time. As we've talked about.
Yes.
I need to find my hot dog angel tonight. So I went to the first, like, little stand.
Like outside the stadium?
Outside the stadium. And I feel like the stadium stands are not good. I'm going to put it out there right now.
Oh, near the stadium?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. And so I bought a hot dog and I got a little tiny bite. And it was a big crowd of people. And one of those like passenger bike guys slams into me.
Oh.
He was going way too fast in the crowd.
Passenger bike?
Like the little guys that would pedal the bikes and have the little thing on the back you can sit in.
Got it.
Yeah. He was like not ringing his bell. He was just like going through the crowd.
Didn't care.
Slams into my arm. I dropped my hot dog.
Oh no.
And there was a guy like who saw it all happen. He's like, oh.
Oh.
And I still had a little bit of a bruise.
You do.
Yeah. It fucking hurt. This is 2 weeks later.
Oh my God.
I was like
salt.
And he just kept going.
Yeah.
Did not care.
He probably did that to a bunch of people that
probably,
day.
Probably, yeah. Because he was going way too fast in that crowd. And yeah, so I dropped my hot dog. which was very sad.
So sad.
And then I was with my friends, Andrew and Christine, and Andrew was like, we got to get you another hot dog.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, it's fine. Like,
it's fine. It was a $14 hot dog.
Like, it's not meant to be. It's okay. I don't need it. And he's like, no. I'm going to buy you another hot dog. And so we went and bought another hot dog. I took a bite. Tepid.
Oh, it wasn't hot?
No.
It was a medium.
It wasn't even like medium.
A lukewarm
it
dog?
It was like a lukewarm dog. And I took a bite and I was like, this is not.
You're like two for two here.
I was not blessed by a hot dog angel that night. It was cursed by hot dog Satan.
It was not meant to be.
No, I was like, yeah.
Was the sun still out?
No.
Oh, okay. I was like, maybe that's the problem. The sun was out. No, because
usually the gauge is like when it's night out. The hot dog angels come.
And sometimes those hot dogs are like quite the opposite. Nuclear fucking hot.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was expecting the ones next to the stadium, like this huge crowd of people leaving.
I know. But I guess so. But I would imagine most people have already eaten inside. And so maybe they're like, whatever, this is the end of it.
Yeah.
Like they sell more hot dogs before people are the going game. In.
Yeah. Maybe that's. Yeah, totally. And it was just like.
God, I'm sorry.
Damn it.
Unacceptable.
It was a really big bummer. That was a weird night.
But if you were hammered, you still probably would have been like, yeah, this is it.
Yeah, I wasn't really hammered.
See, that's the other thing.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't like.
You would have noticed it wasn't hot, but you would have been like, this is fine.
Like, this is fine. Yeah, no, it was funny because this, like the one I bought it from, I was like, or Andrew bought it for me. And I was like, Mike, do you guys have jalapenos? And they like, pointed at the little stand. And it was like, that was one of those big jars.
Oh, okay.
Which is fine. Like the pickled ones. But there was like just ends.
And oh, God. Oh, yeah. You got that. You really.
I was like, okay.
You were not. No.
Yeah. It was the hot dog angels were not out. It was hot dog Satan.
I'm so sorry.
It was okay. It was, you know, it is what it is.
I was doing a lot of road tripping this week. There was a lot of driving. And at one point, like, we had stopped into a gas station. And I just walked by those gorgeous glizzies rolling around in their little. And I was like, God, I really want one. But I'm in mixed company. And I'm the driver. And I can't exactly be like mobbing on a... hot dog.
Technically, he has company. A pretty good driving food. Like,
I was just like, I appreciated them from a distance, right? And I moved on.
You looked with delight.
I did. I was like, oh, I wanted them so bad. They all look all glistening and
hot.
So
the least you can do is make it hot.
That's true.
I don't want a tepid wiener.
No. Okay, never mind. I'm gonna move on because I would say there are some scenarios where it should be exactly that temperature.
Tepid?
Wieners. You see? Just like a nice room temp wiener. Because if it's hot, then there's a problem.
Yeah. That's a you red need flag. To see a doctor.
Exactly.
There's probably an ointment for it. Yeah. You need to talk to somebody about not me.
No.
Above my pay grade. Please go find a professional.
This is episode 2 of the cliffhanger.
This is, yes, and this is going to be 2 of 3.
Wow, what an interesting choice, a 3-part for the 100th episode.
I know. I wanted to do a cult. And I got a lot of psychology, like specific studies on this specific cult. Cool. And it made me like dive down a rabbit hole. And I feel like.
And this is where we are.
It needs to be talked about. Like just kind of the steps taken to get to where we end with Heaven's Gate to like really understand. Because I feel like people just kind of generalize them as just crazy.
Sure.
And I'm not saying they're not crazy, but I'm saying that I don't think they're any crazier than any other organized religion out there. You know, because there's some Christian psychosis going on.
Any other organized religion is a choice, but
yeah, I mean, like the extremes. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I would probably wouldn't disagree.
Yeah,
if you're extreme about any religious belief,
yeah,
I think there's some brainwashing happening.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you're extreme about any really, that's like,
a good point.
Belief, I think, is a little nuts. You just gotta be able to like kind of check your shit, you know. Feeling okay, I need to zoom out.
Yes, we need to remain level.
Yes, we need to remain a little bit more level-headed here. So this is episode 101, which is part 2 of Heaven's Gate. Okay, so we left off with T and Joe, Bonnie Nettles and Marshall Applewhite.
T is Bonnie.
T is Bonnie.
Yeah, Doe okay. Is that Apple I always, White. It was confusing to me, but I'm going to try to remember
this
that.
Is confusing, not everything else.
No, just like, why would she be T and he's Doe?
Because she's the head.
Yeah, I guess he's like a little.
He's like her little, like, foot soldier. Not foot soldier.
Yeah, it's very passive.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. Yeah.
So they are staying at various campgrounds and having their members perform weird thought exercises. Do you remember us talking about this last?
No.
Episode.
No. Nope.
So they're doing like the tomb time where they only talk to each other and say yes or no. They're basically like isolating themselves, like not speaking to anybody else.
Okay.
They were doing that. They were also working in like little like star clusters is what they called it, where they would do chores, but they would rotate in and out and have people watching them. They weren't smoking. They're not drinking. They're not eating fatty foods. They're not having sex or masturbating. They're trying to essentially get rid of their humanness.
Sure, right, okay.
Because they believe that T and Joe are the two people that are going to help them ascend to an alien spacecraft that is going to take them to heaven,
my
essentially.
Eyes are rolling so hard. God.
So that's kind of where we ended it.
Okay.
Last time. Members were also, at this point, not allowed to talk to their families, and the isolation from the rest of the world really began. In the campgrounds, I will say. And this is still in like the 1970s, late 1970s, around like 1976 to 1978. So, and just to reiterate to everyone, remind everyone, T is Bonnie Nettles and Doe was Marshall Applewhite. And I guess I just said this, but like they were teaching that they were preparing this group for a UFO to descend into Earth's atmosphere, retrieve their faithful few, aka their group, and the UFO would whisk them away into the heavens, basically space heaven.
Okay.
And at this point, they're ascending in their bodies. And their bodies are going to be transformed in some shape or form later. This is a crucial part for later in this episode. So during this time of the cult, the group was told that they were preparing their bodies for something. I keep jumping ahead. So... So during this time of the cult, the group was told that they were preparing their bodies for the ascension and that their bodies would go through some sort of metamorphosis once they reached the next level. It was often compared to a caterpillar butterfly scenario. And like, I've heard some sources said that like they're going to become like grays.
Okay.
But like hot, sexy grays.
Why do you need to be sexy if you're not supposed to be fucking?
Maybe you're fucking in the next level?
It's so weird. I'm just like... They want a bunch of squares. And I'm like, I don't, like, what is this? The thing that's special about us is our humanness.
I would agree. I would
my
agree.
God. Okay.
But, I mean, they would disagree.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
I just would not relate.
I kind of just I imagine them all as, like, a handsome Squidward in the spaceship. Do you know what that is?
I was like, did that come up yesterday? Because I'm like, why have I heard Handsome Squidward twice in 2 days?
I don't think it came up yesterday.
How on earth?
Maybe okay. It did.
It might be.
We record for like 4 hours.
You'll
yesterday.
Have to, you'll notice if you go to edit, you just let me know when you find it.
You're like, I found the Handsome Squidward. Yeah. That's what I'm kind of imagining they think they're going to look like in my head.
Okay.
In my millennial head, that's what pops up for me.
He's not handsome.
Have you not seen Squidward?
I've seen it, yes. Okay. But he's still...
Squidward. I mean, yeah, he's just a fucking octopus.
He's like a ripped Squidward.
Yes, he's got like the nice... He's got the square jaw.
Square jaw, yeah.
Yeah.
It does not
nice,
do it
nice
for me.
Nice cheekbones, yeah. Listen.
Could not get it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I never know with you.
I love SpongeBob. I think I'm just like, fuck Squidward.
Yeah, Squidward is a bit of a curmudgeon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because SpongeBob
is the essence of Squidward. I think that's a no for me.
So they would try different diets, like juice or broth fasts with enemas.
Whoa, okay.
They would do like the...
What are you trying to do? Kill yourself also?
I don't think so. So they would do the... maple syrup, cayenne pepper, lemon juice fast.
That has got to work. People have been doing that for...
I don't think it works. I think people are just fucking crazy. This almost, to me, sounds like this could be like an LA retreat.
Sure.
Because I'll get further into this with the food stuff. So this is what they did when they did do a cleanse.
Okay.
very, you know, like goop.
Sure.
You know? And sometimes they also had a diet that had a base of beets and lentils.
Ah. They're getting their fiber.
Yes. Last time when we recorded, you made us literally like a salad with lentils and beets. I was like, oh my God.
That's so funny.
I didn't say anything because I was just like, I'm not going to give her shit about this.
You already knew this?
Yeah.
Listen, that was a very healthy meal.
It was a very healthy meal.
And the reason I did that is because I had blood work done and I was like, shit, my cholesterol's still high. Yeah. And I was like, well, I guess beets
this
and lentils.
This one going to fix it.
Listen, I'm trying.
All
okay?
we can do is try. I'm just saying.
And you know, I've really wanted bone marrow. Mm-hmm. And I have not made bone marrow at home.
That's really hard to do at home, I feel.
Not for me.
Okay. Listen. Pop off. I don't know.
I'm just saying, I'm actively like, okay, that would contribute to my high cholesterol. I cannot do that.
Yes.
See, I'm trying. And then I eat beets instead.
Beets and lentils.
I fucking hate beets too.
Like a pickled beet isn't bad.
It was okay.
Yeah. Like, I remember, I have a very vivid, this is going to sound a little bit traumatizing, but I have a very vivid memory of the woman who used to babysit me, this older lady. She made, like, steamed beets, like, huge, fat beets. And she, like, made me sit at the table and eat them. She would not let me leave. And I was, like, gagging.
Did she put salt on them or anything?
I don't fucking think so. It was just, like, a full-on
so weird
beet. And she was like making me eat it.
I mean, good for you, but also really strange.
It's very strange. Just like I was like crying and like gagging, and she's you have to eat it.
I think millennial parents are not doing this anymore.
No. I don't think so either. Which is good.
I was babysitting my niece and nephew last fall, and I was like, okay, like I need you to eat some more of this food before you finish and are going to ask me for dessert. You got to eat this. Mm-hmm. And my niece was like, mommy doesn't make us do that. And I was like, noted. Okay. I guess we're not supposed to tell the kids to eat their food anymore. I don't know.
Yeah. Like cleaning your plate always, I think is the problem there. I think, you know, trying to get them to eat vegetables is always going to be a problem. I remember I was watching my nephew once. I call it broccoli gate now because I made broccoli.
Mm-hmm.
I like sauteed it, or not sauteed, I tossed in like olive oil and salt and pepper and garlic powder, put it in the oven. It's like roasted broccoli.
The only way broccoli is tasty is if you do it that way. Yes.
Yeah. He just would not do it. And there was cake. And I was like, listen, I'm like, if you don't eat some broccoli, you can't have any cake. And he didn't do it. I was like, okay, you can't have any cake. And it was catastrophic. Exactly. I was a fucking monster. And I'm like, I feel bad. But like, I told him, I gave him the stipulation and he agreed to the terms. Before I said
But then
them.
He saw everyone else eating cake?
Yeah. No, well, he agreed to the terms. I'm like, if you eat your broccoli, then you can have a big old piece of cake. So win-win. Yes. You get some vitamins, you get a piece of cake, you know? And he wouldn't do it. I was like, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think as a kid, he's just, I mean, obviously, isn't it? And maybe it's because we drink alcohol, but I'm like, you do just learn to be like, yeah, I can get through this. I can get through this.
It's fine. It's just like you can do anything. I take a shot of whiskey. I can do this. A catastrophe. Like mm-hmm. It's just the end of the world. If just fucking do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was. Yeah.
It's just a few bites and a swallow. You're right. You're not gonna die.
Yeah. You're not gonna die. But yeah, if I had to be force fed beets once, you can eat some goddamn broccoli, kid. Anyways. So yeah, so they would do these beet and lentil diets. They'd also do vegetarian sometimes. They'd also do a fruitarian on occasion. But no matter what, the entire group had to eat all the same things.
Okay.
Everyone's on the same diet. This seems like maybe it was also a little bit for just because cost efficiency. They were buying stuff in bulk. And at this point, they're very, very broke. They're mm-hmm. like literally camping. That's like the only way they can, you know, all stay together. And they would have people go out and like work menial jobs, but only for short term because they don't want them to make human connections in the world and not come back, right? And food for them wasn't necessarily something you were going to enjoy. This is where they would lose you because once again, they're trying to get rid of their humanness. So it's not like you can't enjoy this meal. Like this meal is just fuel for our bodies. But no one was ever like malnourished or starved or anything. It was just, this is fuel. This is to get us ready for ascension. We are not here to enjoy this meal together.
No, they sound like a bummer.
They really, this is like bummer of cults.
Not into it.
Yeah. I mean, I like you hear some other ones and that sounds horrible and horrific, the things that happened to the people in the cult. And then you hear this one, you're like, you guys are just a bunch of fucking squares.
Why'd you guys sign up for this?
Is there nothing in between?
Honestly.
Is that maybe just life? Like, honestly. Just normalcy? I don't know. So the campground wasn't necessarily just all beats and chores, though. The group would also watch a TV that was hooked up to a cigarette car lighter.
Oh, resourceful. Which
I would like to know what kind of car could power a TV through a cigarette lighter in the 70s.
I don't understand the mechanics of it.
I don't either. And they loved Star Trek.
Okay.
Yeah. For the early Star Trek.
Okay.
With Kirk and... Mm-hmm. Not Captain Kirk. Captain Kirk's always there. William Shatner.
Yes.
And Larry Nimoy. Yeah. So they really loved that show. They also, later on, they really loved The X-Files. They loved, like, Deep Space. They liked all the sci-fi shit.
They were allowed to watch the sci-fi stuff. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But
that's something, I guess.
Yeah. But T&O would not allow TV shows that showed a strong family or friends unit, like Little House on the Prairie at the time.
Oh.
Because they didn't want to trigger their members who maybe missed their families.
Hmm. I would like to know how intentional this was, because it sounds intentional.
It does sound intentional,
you know,
to isolate and
yeah.
I mean, I think this is like very interesting case where I do think that T and Doe, Bonnie and Marshall were really believing what they sold to this group, and I think that's kind of unique to a lot of different cult structures. Because you look at like Jonestown or, you know, any of the other ones, and like I think they all kind of knew it was bullshit, but I do really think that T and Doe believed this on some level. Mm. And I do think it's maybe the members of the, it's like a self-confirming bias. Like everyone's telling Marshall and Bonnie, they're like, oh yes, you guys were right. You are the leaders. We are doing this for ascension. And so then like they keep hearing that enough that they believe it themselves.
Sure.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
I will say Bonnie does write her daughter often. Oh. Yeah. So Bonnie is writing letters to her daughter in secret.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And she shares that with the group like way later. And she's like, by the way, my mom was always in contact with me. Which is fucked up to tell your members that they can't do that. But she's still in contact with her kids.
Well.
Yeah. So it's a little bit of a hypocritical stance, you know.
For the, but not for me.
Yes, exactly. So they also come up with the concept of the away team, which we will talk about more later. But so during this era of the cult claims that 2,000 years prior, which is, this is funny that we're talking about this in Easter, Jesus had shown up, spread his message, and kind of took off and ascended after that, aka Easter Sunday when he leaves. But that he, Jesus, and God have now come back and come into the bodies of Marshall and Bonnie.
Okay.
With Bonnie being God and Marshall being Jesus. God is a word.
I was like, how fucking progressive Ariana. Are they?
And they came back to recruit members to go back to where they came from. It, like, basically space heaven.
Okay.
So that is what they're spewing right now. Yes. Creative. Mm-hmm. I do think it's funny that we're really talking about this on Easter.
Sure.
Because someone, I can't remember where I saw it. Someone posted like, hey, they're like, what happened to Jesus after he came back? I'm like, did he just get killed again? He doesn't. And someone like literally posted a picture of Mary Poppins in the air with the umbrella. They're like, pretty much this happened.
I was like, wait, what did happen? We know he was only here for a few days.
Yeah, and then he basically, like, Mary Poppins backed into the sky.
He just, like, vanishes again?
Yeah, I think so.
Damn.
Which, like I said, is it any crazier?
He's, like, pulling the Irish goodbye on him.
Yeah, totally. Jesus did an Irish goodbye. He's like, I'm out of here. You guys are fucking losers. Yeah.
Bye. I'm with Sky Daddy now.
I'm going up with Sky Daddy. Mill fingers, as he says.
Booyah.
So this is also when we start to see the idea of a uniform for the group emerge. So it's once again getting rid of more individuality.
Yes, yes.
And originally it was kind of like windbreakers and like linen pants.
Linen pants and windbreakers?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't work together. Okay. I was like, okay, windbreaker, cool. Linen pants? No.
Okay. I think it was like...
Those are such opposing materials.
I know.
I don't like that at
some
all.
It's like a, some sort of organic material, like linen or cotton.
And then a windbreaker.
And then a windbreaker.
Okay, sure.
Listen.
All right. Their style is bad, all right? That's all I have to say.
Yeah. I mean, this Add is like the 70s. List. They could have been dressing way fucking cooler.
I know.
Wearing like the bell bottoms.
That's true. I guess other cults were doing that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Or like the pantsuits. The polyester. Like, sure. Staying alive.
Yeah.
Pantsuits. Mm. That sounds like a way more fun cult.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's not their style.
No. So they initially say that this uniform was more as like a dress code at the beginning. And it was an excuse to make the laundry easier because remember, they are still in the woods at camp.
Okay.
They're doing all this while they're camping. So they're like, it's just going to be easier if we all kind of wear the same thing.
Sure.
And just take your...
Just grab one.
Yeah, just grab a pair that fits you, essentially. But sometimes the dress code for the group would get fucking weird.
Oh, okay. Go on.
So on occasion, the group would wear a black hood, like a KKK hood, with mesh around the eyes as a way to try to pull away from their individuality. And it would also help with their tomb time.
Okay.
So when they're not supposed to be talking to each other, it's also like a form of like individual isolation. And like kind of when they're trying to connect to the higher level, they would wear these hoods with the mesh eyes.
Okay.
Could you imagine?
I don't like it.
Coming up to this campsite.
And they're all wearing those.
And they're all wearing the hoods?
No. And their linen pants.
And their weird linen pants and like a windbreaker.
I don't like it at all.
No, I would like slowly be like Homer Simpsoning into the bushes.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I'm going to go.
Exactly.
Whoa. So they would also start to call their different areas of camp by different names. Their kitchen would be the nutrition center.
Okay.
To try to basically be like, oh, we're pretending we're in the spaceship right now. Sure. We're getting ready to be in the spaceship. So the kitchen's on the nutrition center.
Okay.
And the bathroom would be the recycling center.
Nice. Okay.
And they also would call like laundry like fiber care or fiber maintenance.
Okay.
They're all like, it's just like, they're fucking like weird cosplaying, pretending they're on the shape spaceship.
Yeah, and that's the thing about cults is that they do have to have like their own language for shit. Mm-hmm. Everyday stuff needs to be called something else.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, L. Ron Hubbard.
Oh, yeah.
Done it all. I mean, all.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything has its own.
Everything has something else, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So all of these exercises, both physical and psychological, were trying to prepare the group for somewhere else other than Earth. Like I said, getting ready to be on the spaceship. And it's also sold to them as a game. It's like basically like an educational game. Like, oh, we're going to do this exercise. Think of it as a game where you're wearing your hood and you can't talk to each other. Like a little bit more. I don't know. I think it's a little bit easier to accept that.
Sure.
If you're pretending you're playing a game.
Like, yeah, like, you're almost stomach like it.
Cosplaying
yeah.
at this point.
Yeah.
But it's all really about control and coercion at the end of the day, unfortunately. So during this time, Marshall and Bonnie would also implement something they called the 17 steps. So we don't have the exact list of what the 17 steps were, but it's not like the steps we'd think when you come to like sobriety. Like I have to go through these 13 steps in like a specific order to get to, you know, and like when you're in like AA or something, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
This is more of like a mental checklist to self-monitor yourself and make sure you were getting ready for ascension. We don't have the exact list, but I found a couple versions of the list, and this is kind of what I took from it. So the steps are like this. Can you follow instructions exactly without adding your own interpretation? Can you pass instructions along unchanged, or do you alter them? Mm. Do you engage in unnecessary or inconsiderate conversation while working? Are you physically careless or rough with objects? Are you clumsy, basically? Do you act impulsively instead of thinking before you act? Hmm.
Yes.
Do you interrupt others or fail to listen fully?
Yes, but it's because I have ADHD, okay?
Yeah. Yes, because you're an idiot. No,
I'm just kidding. I just think I'm already with you. My brain is working faster than yours.
Right. Do you take correction well or do you resist it internally? Not even like outwardly, internally.
And then you have to, that's my business, okay?
Do you justify your mistakes instead of correcting them? How fucking dare you? Do you project blame onto others instead of taking responsibility? Mm. Do you allow your emotions to control your reactions?
probably.
Some of these are like, you know.
Some of these are like, you know what? This is a good way to check yourself, I guess. Yeah. Yeah. Are you attached to a personal preference like comfort, habits, or routines?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hello.
I got my skincare stuff going. Okay. Yeah. Leave me alone. Do you seek attention or recognition from others?
No.
Fuck all y'all. We're literally on the podcast. We're begging for people to recognize us. Do you compare yourself to others in a competitive or ego-driven way? Do you act independently or instead of as a part of the crew? Do you question authority or instructions unnecessarily?
Interesting.
What's unnecessary, mm-hmm. right? Do you maintain consistent awareness of your behavior and thoughts? Are you consistently striving to overcome your human tendencies?
It's a lot of pressure.
It's a lot to be thinking about at all times. Right? Just constantly like, oh shit, mm-hmm. am I doing all the things they want me to do?
Yeah.
Like the anxiety these people probably had.
Yeah, on top of the work, on top of the like,
yeah.
you know, the eating and the diligence.
And I can't even have a drink or go rub one out to get over some like relief like over here. Mm-mm. So with this checklist, the group would also have something that they called the docket. T and Dale would have a timer, often set to short intervals around 12 minutes. And it was a way to have people structure their behavior and attention throughout the day. And so when the timer went off, it acted as a reset point where you go through this checklist.
Every 12 minutes?
Every 12 minutes.
Yikes.
Yeah. While you're like doing chores or whatever, like you just have to stop and do your checklist mentally.
Yikes.
So yeah, stop and check themselves. And then they would go to T and Doe and report back on how successful they were in their internal checklist. This is all happening in their brains, right? And then they would step on the platform and ask the higher level silently what else they could do to serve T and Doe and the higher level. Oh. But they wouldn't get an answer from the next level. They would get an answer from T and Doe themselves. So they would sit there. They would ask the higher power. It's almost like they're pretending like T and Doe can hear their thoughts. And then they would tell them, hey, go do this, or you can do this now.
And they've set it up as we know they're asking mm-hmm. what they can do for me mm-hmm. in this moment. And I can tell them to do anything.
Yes.
Because I know that's what they're thinking.
Yes.
Great.
Weird. It's weird.
It's rigged.
Rigamorous, girl. So this game would also go past the camp and be practiced when members would be out in the world working their menial jobs to support the group. So the members were instructed to look at the clock every 12 minutes and go over their mental checklist and ask the next level how they could be of service. So imagine you're working at McDonald's with a kind of a weird guy over here, and you just see him look at the clock every 12 minutes. You'd be like, are you just wondering when the shift's over?
Mm-hmm. He really wants to go home.
Like, he really does want to be here. Which, I mean, I guess is probably what I would assume, but like...
Sometimes you're looking at the clock more... than that.
Yeah, for sure. You just, please, for the love of God, be back with me.
It's only been 6 minutes.
So T and Doe claimed that all of these commands or guidelines from the next level would come through Bonnie and then to Marshall, and then they would pass on the word to the group. But this is an interesting change, because initially when they were recruiting members in the early 70s, they said that anyone could talk to the next level. It was like, you just have to connect to them and you can talk to them. But that caused so much rift within that initial cult group, because people would be like arguing about something.
Yeah.
And be like, well, the next level told me this.
Sure.
And then this person would be like, well, the next level told me this.
Oh, they got to get that on lockdown quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. So then now they're like, nope, none of you can talk to the next level. It's only us.
Sure.
Like, we're the people you have to speak to. I think that's also creating more coercion and control
for
too.
Sure.
Yeah. It's more about controlling the group, right? This is where we start to see more individuality being taken away from this group members, and the reliance on the salvation from T and Doe grow stronger, because they're like, we are the two. We are the ones that talk to the higher level. We know when the higher level's coming. We know when everything's happening. We're trying to get you ready. We are the ones that are going to save you. I think I mentioned in the first episode, like the soterology, which is the doctrine of salvation. This is kind of where that comes from.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're basically like, we are the people that are going to get you to the next level. We are here to save you. So I'd also like to point out at this point that no one was punished within the group or seen like we see with other cults. The ones locked in a room or, I mean, like Ohms from Rikyo, they literally kill people.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, put in like a closet or, I don't know, whipped or whatever. Like, nothing, none of that is happening here. And people desperately wanted to stay within this group. They were like, this is where I am. This is where I'm supposed to be. I want to be here.
Yeah.
And the most they would get from T and Dale when it came to like punishment, it would be like, I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed, for lack of a better word. Kind of like a parent being like, well, I guess you fucked up. If people wanted to leave the group, T and Dale would be like, okay, we're disappointed. And it sucks because you're not going to be in the Ascension, but you know, you can go.
Right.
They would give them bus fare. Be like, all right, bye.
Yeah, that's where I guilt you.
Yeah, which is even like, I don't know. You're like, oh, do you even want me here? It's like the reverse psychology.
Yeah.
I always think of that scene with Dakota Johnson and Army Hammer, whatever his name is. The guy is canceled.
Yeah, the cannibal one.
Yeah, where he was like, I think we should break up. And she's like eating cereal. She's like, okay. And he was like,
mad about it?
Yeah, he's like mad that she doesn't care. It feels like a little bit like that to me. Hmm. So Marshall and Bonnie were also very paranoid during this camping era of the cult itself, obviously. Let's be real. So they would have lookouts in the surrounding hills and trees to make sure that if anyone outside the cult was going to pull up, they could change out of their matching outfits and hoods.
Oh, so they knew that there was something funky about this.
And they could just pretend to be a Bible study group.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, which I guess is better.
I was like, what's the difference?
I don't know. I feel like I feel like it'd still pull up and be like, there's a lot of people here and I'm getting a weird vibe.
Yeah, that's like, true.
The vibes are weird. Mm-hmm. Yeah, even without the hoods and the windbreakers, be like, okay, I'm just gonna go, I guess. Yeah. So they also made sure that the group could pack up the camp super quickly to be able to jump into another campsite. I think this is also part of the control aspect. Be like, okay,
let's be ready to go at any time.
Do a drill right now. Let's make sure we can all do it. And like people, they could pack within like 15 minutes, the entire campsite. Yeah.
Damn.
So they did have to do this on occasion because sometimes group members would try to contact home, unfortunately, like write a letter or something. And they'd be like, we have to go.
Because we don't know when to find.
Yeah. We don't want them to find us. Yeah. Or if someone would go out without getting permission from Bonnie or Marshall, they would go into town or something. There's a couple times where that happened and they would be like, okay, you have to leave now.
It would be gone when they came back.
Yeah. Hmm. Or like they would grab the person and be like, we have to leave because you did this.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're inconveniencing everybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So not everyone within the group was super committed to the ultimate goal of the Ascension.
Good.
In around 1976, Bonnie and Marshall secretly chose 19 members that they believed were the least committed and told them that they need to go to Phoenix and get jobs.
Okay.
They're like, you need to go down to Phoenix. We need some money. Go get some jobs as a group. So the members did this, and the two kept in contact with them for a few weeks before just ghosting them.
Sure. Oh, interesting. Okay.
And these members just basically kind of disbanded and walked away.
Good for them.
But that is how they got people out of the cult. There was a couple people that left on their own, but most of the time they had to force people out. Yeah. Okay. Which is very weird.
Yeah. I mean, they've clearly set themselves up to be like the prize.
Yeah.
The proximity to them and approval.
Yeah. All of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for the rest of the 1970s, Bonnie and Marshall, and now the 69 members of the group, were mostly nomadic. And they were hopping around different campsites in Wyoming, Colorado, and even went back to Texas for a time. So the cult was not actively recruiting at this time, and they did lose a few followers. Like I said, a couple of people left, and they kind of would force other people out in these weird backwards ways. But in like the people that were in it were really in it. So we get to 39 people that eventually are at the end. So at least half, a little more than half of them are fully committed until the end of it. And this is when we see the cult members change their names.
Okay.
Do you remember this? Have you heard about this?
Yes. But it's also common.
It's yes, like it is very common. Thing. Yeah, this one's weird though. So during the late 1970s, members were kind of allowed to pick their new names for themselves, but under a certain set of rules, like everything else. So the beginning had to be one syllable and end with OD.
Uh-huh.
With the OD being a representation of God. And the Y was added to make it a little more friendly and fun.
Okay.
And more approachable, like Billy or Mikey or Jimmy or Timmy. Kind of like, oh, yeah. Hey, Mikey, what's going on? So it was like the Y was added for that.
Okay.
So I think yours would be like Magody.
God. God. This was so bad. These people are so lame.
Jesus. Or if you wanted to, you could use... So you kind of were able to pick your own name. It was either a shortened version of your given name, your birth name, or if you wanted some sort of description, if someone calls you like tall, there was like a guy named Tallody.
Tallody.
Because he was tall. That was always the joke. Oh, Tallody.
Okay, cool. Again.
Yeah. So like mine would be...
Nerds.
Melody.
That's not bad. Melody.
Oh, that's just Melody.
They're like, no, that doesn't fit the naming conventions.
You're not Melody.
Melody.
You're Melody.
Great. Okay. Noted. Totally different.
Yeah. Or Misody.
I hate it.
Misody.
I hate it. I hate it a lot.
I do too. It's Jesus. Weird. It makes sense to them, I guess. I don't know. It's weird.
The OD stands for what?
I told you.
I know, but in what way does that stand for God?
I think it's because they want to put God in everyone's name.
And they just picked two letters?
They just picked two of the three letters.
Okay. Oh, OD. G's, oh, yeah. So like the G is the beginning of your name.
Yeah.
OD is the rest of God. And then Y for vibes.
Y is for like you're approachable and fun.
Idiots. Okay. God.
So the point of this is to bring members closer to the next level while also getting rid of their human ties. Again, like I keep saying. So in the early 1980s, the group gets somewhat of a break when two members receive inheritances that add up to about $300,000, which is a little over $1 million in today's money.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Where are our relatives that leave us? I need, where's my rich aunt?
Yeah. $1 million is a lot.
$1 million is a lot. Yeah. So, which means that the group can now rent an actual home.
Okay.
AKA a craft. Because remember, they're cosplaying in a spaceship to share.
Okay, good for them.
So while sharing this house as a group, the schedule got stricter for the group as well. Now they're confined. And there's not going to be any sign of no one can come in. Mm. It's like just them in this house. It had to be a big fucking house,
too. I know. I think so.
I'm sure they're sharing rooms, but it still probably was pretty big.
I think there was 70 people, roughly.
I think it was in Denver, the first one. Yeah. So we have some firsthand accounts of what life was like in the first homes. And the rules were pretty strict because we have a couple people that leave. So the group would be given exact times they could sleep, which was generally about 2 hours at a time.
Wow. Okay, mm-hmm. So now we're really fucking with people.
Yeah, totally. And they were also given exact times and durations of when they could bathe, eat, and they were also told to take multiple vitamins daily, like 32 different vitamins a day.
Okay.
And this was done every day. Mm. There was never like a Sunday break or something. Every day you took a bath at 5:17 for 10 minutes. You know, you took these four vitamins at this time. You took these four vitamins at this time. You take these.
Do we know if Bonnie and Marshall were also doing this, or were they just doing their own thing?
I think they were also doing this.
Okay. They were disciplined.
Yeah.
Them. Okay. I mean, I guess that's the least they could do.
Yeah. But like I said, Bonnie was also writing home.
Yeah.
Writing to her kids. And she was telling everyone else not to do this. So we don't really know, unfortunately. But I do think there was definitely parts of this that they were actively engaged with, with the group. So they would also have assigned chores and also study and do astrology or thought exercises or jigsaw puzzles. So
good. Okay.
Like
something, I guess.
Yeah. All of it. It's like basically Ascension boot camp. Mm. Like we're just getting ready for all of it.
Okay.
So each member would also have someone assigned to each other or a hall monitor assigned to watch parts of the group. And they were called eyes, which is giving Handmaid's Tale. Mm-hmm. To make sure there was no funny business, like people were masturbating or anything. You're not congregating with people you shouldn't be congregating with. Like it's just you and your partner. You know, you're doing your tomb time. You're not going to the bathroom and, you know, taking care of yourself. A lot of that type of stuff. They're always being watched, unfortunately. So the monitoring itself was never looked at as like a threat or a punishment. It was almost welcomed by the group members as they're like, thank you for helping me get ready for Ascension.
Keeping me honest.
Mm-hmm. It's just like another way that they controlled these people. Be like, this is all for to help me.
Sure.
This is why it's called the Cult of Cults, because
they are believers.
They are true believers. Mm-hmm. There isn't any like stories about people being like, I was forced to do all this stuff.
Yeah.
Which is weird, right?
Well, that's part of the coercive control. Mm-hmm.
Totally.
It's the genius of all this.
Yeah. So the group was
the
also,
evil genius.
Yeah, the very evil genius. Yeah. So the group also never left the house.
Okay, sure.
And they had all the windows covered from the outside world.
Damn.
And this would last.
So they'd take all those vitamins.
Right? And this would last for months at a time.
Oh, that's awful.
Right? That it probably smelled.
Ew.
Just like musty, like human dander. Ew, like
gross.
You gotta open the window, get some fresh air.
Yeah.
There was a point where one of the members who left, she talked about the only time she could ever figure out what the weather was outside is because there's a skylight. So yeah, it's raining today, but it doesn't matter because I'm in my craft. I'm getting ready for ascension. Like that's human stuff. Don't worry about that. Sure.
I guess if you're in outer space, then maybe you wouldn't see.
It doesn't rain in outer space.
Yeah.
Yeah. No space weather.
Why is it always dark up there too?
Because the atmosphere. There's no atmosphere. So there's like the light spectrum is not up there.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm pretty sure that's why.
I have no idea.
That literally just spewed out my mouth. So that could be just bullshit. Maybe I should be a cult leader. Wait, I can just make it up.
I love it.
So at this point, a lot of the group had not spoken to their families for years. So Marshall and Bonnie decided one day to let the group in 1982 go visit their family for Mother's Day.
Interesting.
They're like, you guys can go.
I wonder why.
I don't know. Well, I do have some speculation that maybe because at this point, Bonnie has cancer. And so maybe she's like, I just want everyone out of this house.
That was my thoughts. It's like she wanted a minute.
And, you know, maybe has some doctor's appointments. I don't know. Yeah. Like she was hiding the cancer from everybody and she really wasn't getting treatment. But this is kind of when the diagnosis gets bad.
Okay.
So I think maybe that's part of it, too.
Good riddance.
Or she's like, I miss my kids. Mm-hmm. Maybe you guys should go visit your kids. Or busy your families for Mother's Day, too. Yeah. Yeah. So one would think that when a family has a member pop up that they haven't seen for years, they would lock them in a room and try to, like, I don't know, do, like, the, what's the type of therapy that they have to do with cult members? Desensitization? No. I can't remember.
I don't recall. I don't know.
It's like where they have to literally do some sort of like really crazy therapy to get people to like,
yeah, to break the,
to break their mental, yeah, the brainwashing, for lack of a better word. I don't know. Okay. Doesn't really matter. But yeah, so they're, you would think they'd be like, we're going to lock you in a room. We're going to make sure that you don't leave and we're going to make sure that we get you unbrainwashed. Right. Mm-hmm. But I think we understand now with a 2026 lens, I think at least for me personally, how difficult it is trying to get someone to see different logic and reason when they're been coerced and brainwashed like this. And I am talking about the Cult of Mega. So
yeah, I thought you might be talking about that.
Because like even when there's evidence right in front of your face that's saying the opposite and like things are happening that is the opposite, but you still believe it. It's just like, how do we go anywhere else? What are we supposed to do here? You know? And so I think some people were just like, okay, like they seem fine. They're not like, you know, like malnourished, like they're not skinny.
I mean, it's weird, but probably, I guess this is what they want.
They're probably really fucking pale.
Yeah.
And anytime they were like kind of asked during this visit, like what they have been doing, they were saying that they were doing like some sort of like software
boot camps. They had lies to tell.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. But they never really, they would not get into detail about their day-to-days.
Yeah.
They would be like, oh yeah, I'm just doing this like computer program.
And so it's interesting because if you really are believers to that extent, don't you want your family and your loved ones to go with you?
I don't think so. I think Bonnie and Marshall kind of told people like, there's not very many of us.
And there's also like an elitism part of this. Oh yeah. Too,
there's a bit of a smugness to it, I would say. Totally. And yeah, maybe they're like, well, I know the truth.
And now I don't identify with my family and my friends. I've got this whole new identity and these new people.
Right. And these are people who I think were a little listless and lost, obviously.
Yeah.
I definitely think during like kind of the 70s, there was a lot of people who were just like disenfranchised, like for whatever reason. And yeah, there's like, I'm just over all of this. I just want to like have strict rules, strict regulations. Just people tell me what to do, like literally every minute of every day. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to do this. I'm going to focus on this and that's it. You know, so it's easier, I think, mm-hmm. in a lot of ways for some people. So most members that went home stayed for a few days and had an amiable time with their relatives, and they didn't elaborate on where they had been or what they had been doing, like I said. And then they left a few days after to go back to the group without any details of how to contact them.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, hey, it's good to see you for a couple of days. I'm going back.
Thanks.
Yeah, I'm going back to the craft. There was like one specific story about this family. They had like a family member, I think it was like their son, who was a really bad drug addict. And they kind of thought that he was dead.
Oh, sure.
But then he shows up. He's clean. He's sober. And they're like, wow.
I'm impressed.
Yeah, they were like impressed. They're like, thankfully, like you kind of seem to figure your shit out.
Yeah.
He was in this fucking cult. Like, it's just crazy. It's crazy.
Did he stay in the cult?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Fuck.
God, unfortunately, okay. Yeah. I mean, I think for people like that, too, it's like, I found a way to get over all the stuff that, like, made me the way I was before. Like, I literally got rid of my humanness that was, like, not good for me in my life. So, like, now I'm doing this, and this is great.
Yeah, and that would have been great until the way it ends.
Yeah, totally. So, the group was doing their thought exercises and not fucking eating beets and watching Star Trek. And they probably could have eventually just had a New Age health center in LA, I will say. Like I'm saying, like, with the fasts and like the diets and like the thought exercises, this sounds like something I probably, there's a building I could go find and do. I mean, Nexium kind of reminds you of this.
I mean,
a little bit. Yeah, not a little bit, not like completely. I think Nexium has a very different skin, but like, I do think it's a lot of like the, like the workshops they did. It was a lot of the stuff I talked about in the checklist.
Yeah. And Scientology is a bit like there's a twinge of that as well.
It's all got like a twinge of like, oh, like this. I do think these types of thoughts could benefit me. I think for anyone who's like, oh, yeah, like maybe I need to check my ego or ask if my ego is coming into a factor or like stuff like that where you're like, okay, like I kind of see it.
Yeah. Just teaching people to be like a little more self-aware.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's kind of where most of these start, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But everything changes in the 1980s when something catastrophic happens to Bonnie Nettles. So in May of 1982, Bonnie loses an eye to cancer.
Oh.
She loses an,
What kind of cancer does she have?
It kind of metastasizes and goes everywhere.
Damn.
Yeah.
Oh, she really wasn't being treated then.
No. No. So she loses an eye in an attempt to stop it from spreading to her brain, is what it sounds like.
Yikes.
Yeah. And then in 1985, the cancer had spread to Bonnie's liver, and that's how she eventually dies. Her official cause of death is liver cancer.
Got it.
So Bonnie's not getting a traditional treatment. And so this causes it to spread to different parts of her body. Like, you just can't not do anything about it.
It would be painful, too, at that point. Very painful.
And that's why I'm wondering, in 1982, when she, like, let people leave for a few, like, maybe that's when she got her eye removed.
Maybe.
Yeah, because she was also isolated from the group during this era.
Okay.
Because I don't think they wanted anyone to know what was happening. And I mean, it definitely brings up a lot of questions, right? Because if this body is supposed to ascend, what happens when you lose your body?
Yeah, that's true.
So Bonnie dies in 1985. And then this is when the cult kind of jumps the shark. Because literally, their leader dies. And it starts them on a path to eventual death by suicide in 1997. So it starts way back in 1985.
Oh, wow.
So Marshall, Applewhite Doe, as we call him, makes a few significant changes to the cult's doctrine at this point. So the first being that the world is going to end soon.
Mm.
And he is now the voice to the higher power and to Bonnie. He's like, Bonnie's ascended. I'm talking to her. She talks to the higher power still. And they're talking through me.
Okay.
And now there has to be a bodily death before reaching the next level of salvation.
Mm.
So originally it was like, your body's going up too. That's why we're like doing these like different types of meal, like preps.
Right.
We're like, getting ready. Like our diet. Yeah, we're getting everything ready. So Marshall then sells it like this. So he says that Bonnie had reached the next level of ascension and her body couldn't handle the ascent to the next level.
Sure. Okay.
And they're like, she was getting ready and her body couldn't do it, is what he's saying. So then Marshall begins to double down really on the end times. I think maybe also he was like a little grief stricken.
Sure.
Because yeah. Bonnie was like his, they weren't like romantically involved. Right. They're like platonic soulmates, for lack of a better yeah. word. She's, this was my person, and now she's gone.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of videos after this where he talks about Bonnie. He like instantly just starts tearing up.
Yeah.
So he says that soon the next level extraterrestrials will harvest planet Earth of its useful souls and recycle the rest of human civilization as unneeded waste.
Okay.
So it's like, they're going to take some souls. They're going to recycle everything else.
Okay.
Yeah. So he states, quote, "It's harvest time. Harvest time means that it's time for the garden to be spaded up. It's time for the recycling of souls. It's time for some to graduate. It's time for some to be put on ice. It's time."
I wonder if he was like, "I don't know how to get out of this situation. I am sick of this. My chick is gone. I'm in this alone. There's a lot of pressure. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how to get myself out of here."
Maybe. Maybe it's part of it. Totally. So this is the era when the cult also starts hearing the members talk about their physical form being a vehicle. Mm-hmm. And that eventually the vehicle will need to be exited. Mm-hmm. And this is when shit gets darker. And we will continue that journey next week.
Oh, next week.
Next
cliffhanger.
Week. Cliffhanger. So yeah, it's Bonnie dies and everything's fucked. For lack of a better word. Yeah, it gets way worse. And it's unfortunate because I do think if Bonnie had stayed alive, I mean, not stayed alive, but if she hadn't passed away from cancer, that, I don't know, they'd be like Scientology, some new age fucking health shit or something. Maybe. Like a niche in Scientology, like a boutique.
Yeah.
Perhaps. Because sure. They definitely were recruiting or anything. But yeah, Bonnie dying is what really sends this cult spiraling.
I know, but good riddance also. You know?
Yeah, I'm not saying like I'm sad. I'm sad for her. I mean, like it sucks. Like her kids didn't find out until after she passed. Like they got a letter, I think, from somebody. They're like, "By the way, she's ascended." That's what they told her kids.
That sounds oddly... I didn't expect this part of the story to be wildly triggering for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I do also think it's kind of funny that we're talking about this on Easter, about someone ascending. Like a Mary Poppins.
Well, I can't wait to hear the rest of the story. Yeah. Two cliffhangers? Rude.
Well, I mean, like I said, I just feel like... there's just so much to this group. It's 20 years.
Yeah.
And so it's really hard to do in, I mean, I thought 2 episodes was going to be enough. But just like writing this out, I was like, God, this is already 5 pages and we're still in the 80s.
Yeah.
And I was like.
And then the shit really hasn't happened yet.
And the shit, like the bad shit really hasn't. I mean, like bad shit being subjective here compared to other cults. But the weirder shit perhaps hasn't happened
yet. The Heaven's Gate stuff. The real meat and potatoes.
Yeah, I think what people associate with Heaven's Gate really hasn't happened yet. But yeah, so
we will. Talk about tennis shoes.
No, we haven't gotten to tennis shoes yet. We haven't got to the bowl cuts. We haven't gotten to the castration.
I forgot about that.
I'm surprised you that is something you forgot about.
Jesus.
Yeah. Like it gets crazier. And like I said, like I feel like we just, it has to be a 3-parter, unfortunately.
Sorry about it.
Sorry about it. Oh, you're welcome. You know what? I'm doing a deep dive for you guys.
Mm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So nice you're sitting. Fucking welcome. But yeah, so we will finish this up next week. I promise it will not be a 4-parter.
Okay.
Even if episode 3 is a little bit longer, we're just going to have to finish it. Because I can no longer be in Heaven's Gate.
You gotta move on.
I need to get out of here. I need to get off this craft. Because I'm going crazy. But yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. We will talk to you next week. You know, do the things. Rate, review, subscribe. We still have some stickers. If you want some stickers, you know, do all the things and send
good
us...
good stickers.
Yeah, send us an email to grimlypodcast@gmail.com. And I will send you some.
So nice.
Yeah. But yeah, we appreciate you. And until next time,
stay grimly curious. Thank you so much for listening. Music by Alex Kingston and Adam McKinnon.
For podcast photos and updates, follow us on Instagram and TikTok @grimlypodcast.
Be sure to rate and review, and we will see you next week for another episode. Bye, bitch.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.